All right, we are on Lesson 9 of Pilgrim's Progress, The Valley of the Shadow of Death. Of course, this comes from Psalm 23, so if you have your Bibles, turn over there to Psalm 23. Just to get started, I want us to read through this psalm and think about how the psalmist David was looking at himself in the light of God, in an understanding who God is and how God provides, and that this is a time of difficulty, but yet God is leading us through, as it says, to green pastures. So look there, if you will, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 23 in verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So as we catch up with Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, we know that Brother Jake dealt with it last week as he was going through the Valley of Humiliation. And now he's right out of one valley into this next valley. Now, what is interesting, this transition from Valley of Humiliation to the Valley of the Shadow of Death, it's like there's no break. Now, remember what happened in the Valley of Humiliation. He faced Apollyon. He had a sword fight with Apollyon and was able to defend himself in that scene. But now, he goes into the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And you guys, oftentimes, we may think of the Valley of the Shadow of Death as a place that is speaking of physical death. Now, there may be a place in this when we consider it, but I want you to know that Bunyan did not look at it that way. He didn't consider it being the Valley of the Shadow of Death, as in physical death that you were going to have to face. He sees Christian on the other side of it, right? He sees faithful on the other side of it, if you read the portion of the book. So he's seeing this as a time of difficulty in this life, is how Bunyan portrays it. I think we can even see how David maybe intended that when he was in Psalm 23 as he wrote that and used that phrase. This valley of the shadow of death, what could it mean? What could it have? I can't help but think about Derek Thomas had a Spurgeon quote in his study. I want to share it with you. It says, "Though this valley is thus gloomy, dangerous, mysterious, and solitary, yet it is often traversed. Many more go on by this road than some people dream. Among those who wear a cheerful countenance in public, there are many who are well acquainted with this dreary valley. They have passed through it often and may be in it now." Charles Spurgeon had an understanding of trials himself and his own struggles. He had a problem with depression and other sicknesses. I think it was gout and some other things that he dealt with through his life, and the difficulty of trying to push forward and keeping your eyes on what God has called us to do. You guys, that's not something that comes easy. It comes with time. It comes with growth where God is working in us. It comes when there are times when we need help. But I want you to know something about the Valley of the Shadow of Death. If you remember the story, if you read the part of the story we're looking at tonight, that Faithful was there in the valley at the same time, but they didn't see each other. They didn't cross paths until after they had come out of the Valley of the Shadow of Death. This valley of the shadow of death is a picture of solitary loneliness. That's what Spurgeon is saying. There's this time where we're kind of isolated, or at least we feel isolated. And we really have to turn to the spiritual provisions of God and not the physical provisions of brothers and sisters in Christ. There are times when we need that. God provides. We can trust Him on that. But there is so much to this, you guys, that grows us and tests us as we face difficulties in life. You know, to some, these difficulties may vary. What this illustrates to you today may be very different what it illustrates to you 10 years from now. But there's a time of growth. And the fact that I like that Spurgeon said that they go through this oftentimes. It's not just one time and you're done. Life, as you're going through life, there are difficulties that come, and they can be discouraging. But that is the time that we learn to trust. That's the time that we turn our minds into that. And as we think about Christian, you guys, as we're looking at this, I want you to kind of picture what's going on in his mind and what Bunyan was intending to portray in the mind of every believer. Now, every believer would relate to this in some fashion, would connect with what's going on there, because the things that happens to Christian while he's in this valley is what happens to us when we're facing difficult times. On page 66, about in the middle where we begin, it says this: "Now at the end of this valley was another, called the valley of the shadow of death, and Christian must needs go through it, because the way of the celestial city lie through the midst of it. Now this valley is a very solitary place. The prophet Jeremiah thus described it: a wilderness, a land of deserts and pits, a land of drought, and a land of the shadow of death, a land that no man but a Christian passes through, and where no man dwelt." He's quoting there from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6. Now, Bunyan illustration in our study tonight reveals how he personally passed through valleys in his own life. It's something that he kind of drew out in this illustration of the things that he was facing. He brings out the obstacles and the testings of faith, as well as the reality of the fears which believers face during their pilgrimage in this life. So I want us to break this down just a little bit and think about a couple of times, a couple of things through this section that we're studying tonight. First of all, discouragement from others within the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you guys, what is interesting is as soon as he comes in the mouth of this valley, as he begins him traversing this, there are two men coming at him who are basically trying to persuade him, turn around, go back. This isn't the first time that Christian or pilgrim has faced somebody trying to encourage him to turn around. But these are two men, and they do a good job of describing what he's about to experience. But Christian says, "No, I need to go forward." Listen. Bunyan says, "I saw then in my dream that when Christian was got to the borders of the shadow of death, there met him two men, children of them, that brought up an evil report of the good land, making haste to go back, to whom Christian spake as follows." Christian says, "Whither are you going?" They said, "Back, back, and we would have you to do so too, if either life our peace is prized by you." "Why?" says Christian. "What's the matter?" The men responded, "Matter," said they, "we were going that way as you are going, and went as far as we durst. And indeed, we were almost past coming back. For had we gone a little further, we had not been here to bring the news to thee." And Christian said, "But what have you met with?" Now, folks, you see, their fear drove them back. They were to a point where what they're about to describe is a very difficult part. But it was when pilgrims saw the daylight in the valley and began to see some of the things that they were describing. Sounds like they were about halfway through when they gave up. They surrendered about halfway through. Now, we don't know nothing about these men. We don't know where they stand, what they are representing there. But the fact that they were halfway through, but because of fear of loss of life and peace, that's what they said, they turned around. They gave up. Christian says he can't. With their what they said, now listen to what the men said they saw. The men seen, as Christian asked, what did you see? What did you meet with? Seen why the valley itself, which is dark as pitch. Now, folks, note that just a bit, okay? Dark as pitch. Do you know how dark pitch is? That's no light. That is you can't see your hand kind of thing, as people say. It's as dark as pitch. We also saw there hobgoblins. I don't know what a hobgoblin is. A satyr? Yeah. A dragon of the pit? We heard also, now listen, in that valley, a continual howling and yelling as of people under unutterable misery who there sat bound in affliction and irons. And over that valley hang the discouraging clouds of confusion. Death also doth always spread his wings over it. In a word, it is everything whit dreadful, being utterly without order. That's a pretty scary place. That's a lonely place. That description, you guys, the place of confusion. Death always spreads its wings. There's a continual howling and yelling out in pain and fear. Bunyan really wanted us to think about this valley of the shadow of death. He said earlier that it was worse than the valley of humiliation. The two men and their description was not at all deceptive. They told him the truth. It did not tell the all that he sought that Christian would see, though. Bunyan's description of this path itself illustrates the attention required while we are in this valley. The pathway was here also exceeding narrow, and therefore good Christian was the more put to it. For when he sought in the dark to shun the ditch on the one hand, he was ready to tip over into the mire on the other side also. When he sought to escape the mire, without great carefulness, he would be ready to fall into the ditch. Thus he went on, and I heard him here sigh bitterly. For besides the danger mentioned above, the pathway was here so dark that oftentimes when he lifted up his foot to go forward, he knew not where or upon what he should set it next. Folks, think about this spiritual walk that he's illustrating here. He's talking about that when you're in a struggle, that you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what your next move is. You're putting your foot forward wondering, is this the right thing to do? Is this where I'm to step? If you have ever faced any trials in your life, if you ever faced any real difficulties, some real fear, some real scares, and you're walking in this valley of the shadow of death, you're wondering, where is my next step? Think about what he was saying. He said if he went too far on this side, he would fall off in the ditch. If he went far on this side, if he stepped this way, he would fall off in the mire. The mire, the ditch, the mire, the ditch. There's this, and it's so narrow. And then you're wondering where you're putting your foot. This is the valley of the shadow of death, which God calls upon us to pass through. Bunyan understood it. Bunyan understood it. He had faced it. He was in prison. So you can see how there was nothing deceptive about what the man had told him. In fact, it was even more so as he entered the valley itself. The darkness, wondering what's going on. You can't see light. That's a picture of not having any hope, you guys. That's not seeing anything physical that you can latch on to and say, okay, I've got it now, God. This is purely by faith that you're walking through this time, this period in your life, and you're saying, all I've got is Him. All I've got is promises. But that's not all that He had to face. What about the whispers? Look down a little further. The whispers in the valley of the death. I love this section because it kind of makes us think about it as we are believers. There are some times that we don't know whether these thoughts are coming from our own minds or not. And that's really what happened to him. Look, he says one thing, I would not let slip. This is Bunyan saying, I want you to hear this. One thing I would not let slip. I took notice that now poor Christian was so confused that he did not know his own voice. And thus I perceived it. Just when he was come over against the mouth of the burning pit, one of the wicked ones got behind him and stepped up softly to him and whisperingly suggested many grievous blasphemies to him, which he verily thought had proceeded from his own mind. This put Christian more to it than anything that he met with before. Even to think that he would now blaspheme him that he loved so much before. Yet, if he could have helped it, he would not have done it. But he had not the discretion either to stop his ears or to know from whence these blasphemies came. Folks, I don't know if you've been to the point where you begin to question God. But I think there will be a time in every believer's life where they will begin to question God. And these blasphemies that they are that Bunyan is speaking of here is he's thinking Christian really wasn't sure whether it was coming out of his own mind or not. Now what Bunyan portrayed was that this demon got up behind him and began to whisper in him, but because of the darkness and just all that was going on in Christian's mind, Christian was thinking, those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. How can I be saying these things or thinking these things? I remember my brother Dennis. He was in real bad pain. And when he had the tumors on his back, I don't even think at that time we knew that he had tumors. He just thought he had a real bad backache, but he had huge tumors on his back. And he talked to me, and he would take those the medicine that kept him awake. Steroids, some real powerful steroids that he would not sleep. And he said he would just lean up in his kitchen window and look out the window. And he asked me, he said, Harry, he said, I said some things to God during that time, and I don't know if God will ever forgive me. He was in so much pain, and he was angry at God. And he said, I'm sorry I said him. He had tears in his eyes. He was crying. I'm sorry, Harry. Will God be able to forgive me? I said, Dennis, He can forgive you. He can forgive you. But I want you to get that image in your mind that you are suffering so badly, that you are not thinking clearly, and that you are thinking that you would be blaspheming God over that. You know, there's people who blaspheme and are proud of their blasphemy. They're proud of it. They don't need God, they don't want God, and they hate God, and they're good with that. But then for a believer, you see what happened to Christian. He began to look at himself and he says, how could I be coming up with these things and speaking them to the one that I love so much? Well, for a believer, it can happen. It can happen. Psalm 119, verse 58. Think about these words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Now that is someone who is seeking to know God in the midst of a trial. But he's turning to the Word of God. And I think about this. It reminds me of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi. In chapter 3, Paul encourages them to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Okay? Chapter 4, in Philippians chapter 4, he says, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. But then in verse 8 and 9, he says, finally, he's bringing you up to this point. He said, you got to press towards the mark. You need to be focused, but there's something that's got to happen. And it's happening here, you guys, in your heart and your mind. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's telling us that it is a battle within, a battle of the mind. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and God, the God of peace, will be with you. You know what it sounds like to me? That the Apostle Paul knows what's facing the valley of the shadow of death was all about. And he's trying to instill that in the church at Philippi. To lay it out for them and say, look, you've got to press toward the mark. And I think Christian, in Bunyan's book, was doing that while he was in the valley of the shadow of death. But in the midst of that, all these attacks were coming. From the discouragement of the two men probably being rehearsed in his mind of what he hasn't seen yet, but is yet to see. And then these blasphemies to come within his mind. He wasn't even sure, was it me? Did that come out of me? Did I say that? Many have been brought down by the whispers of others who seek to cause us to stumble and even destroy us. I mean, think about it, the very beginning of Pilgrim's journey as he left the city of destruction. There were people trying to persuade him then. Don't think that's going to get easier or it's going to get better. There are people, there are demons, if you will, that do not want you to succeed. And we need to be careful that we remind ourselves and those of those things that we know and have learned, or those whispers will come from within and cause us damage. It'll hurt us. Isn't it sad that we see brothers and sisters, I want to use that term just a little loosely, brothers and sisters that will whisper that you're going down the wrong path when you're seeking to go down that path which His Word has laid out. There's whispers from those around us to discourage us from doing what God would have us to do, to try to stop us from going forward. I want you to notice where Christian finds encouragement, though. In the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, on page 70, says, when Christian had traveled in this disconsolate condition some considerable time, it wasn't a short period, it was a considerable, he thought he heard the voice of a man as going before him saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Could that have been faithful ahead of him? Most likely. Listening to others who are facing their shadow of death as well. Not together. All Christian heard was faithful reminding his own self of these truths. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. But he did find encouragement in those voices that he heard, in that voice that he heard. I love what Bunyan says here. It says, then was he glad, and that for these reasons. First, because he gathered from thence that some who feared God were in this valley as well as himself. Now, folks, just to make a note, a lot of times when we face difficulties, we think that I'm the only one here. I'm the only one facing this difficulty. Nobody else is dealing with it. God, why are you putting so much on me? Folks, there are people who are facing much worse than you ever think you have. There are people in this valley who are facing this difficulty. But see, you need to remind yourself that there are others facing difficulties too. Some people talk about their difficulties more than others. I'm just going to say that. Some people do. Sometimes it's family that knows more, church family. Maybe it's just a handful of faithful people within the body of Christ that this struggle is being shared with, not the whole congregation and everybody, but yet you're over there facing yours, and you're thinking, well, I'm the only one that's got all this coming on me. Please know there are other people facing difficulties in the valley of the shadow of death. You are not by yourself. Christian found that it was encouraging to know that there were others there. Even though they could not see the difficulties or experience the difficulties together, they were there together, crying out. Secondly, for that he perceived God was with him. Though in that dark and dismal state, and why not, thought he, with me? Though by reason of the impede that attends this place, I cannot perceive it. He's quoting referencing Job 9:11. And thirdly, for that he hoped, could he overtake them to have company by and by. So he went on and called to him that was before, but he knew not what to answer, for that he also thought himself to be alone. And by and by the day broke. Then said Christian, he hath turned the shadow of death into morning. You see what's going on? Now he knows somebody else is in there, and they're crying out, but they don't really hear each other. They don't enjoy each other's presence. Why Christian and faithful are facing this together. There's no enjoyment of being together. It's just the knowledge of knowing that there are other people facing it. Folks, I know that may sound a bit morbid, but there is a blessing in knowing that you are not alone in what you face. Do you remember Elijah when he was real discouraged? And he said, God, you know, they've killed all the prophets. I'm the only one left. Why don't you just take me? Do you remember what God responded? He said, Elijah, chill out, man. I got 700 more that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. I've got more than you. You're not the only one. And we need to be reminded of that just like Elijah needs to be reminded. And thirdly, the daylight comes, but perils persist. Now, Bunyan tells us that the morning came, but dangers were no less. In fact, daylight revealed that the second half of this that he was traversing, this valley of the shadow of death, he got light. There was something bright. But you know what was different? He could see. He could see some pits, some holes, some traps. I mean, his description of that sounded like a landmine with landmines everywhere. There was no hope. He said, if I had 1,000 lives, and I would lose them by the time I get to the end of this valley. But yes, there was daylight. And God brought him through that time period. He saw more clearly, but he saw that there were more dangers. He needed the light to navigate this second half, and that's what God provided. But I want you to see the thinking of Bunyan through Pilgrim's Journey through this valley. He says, I think this is on page I don't remember what page it's on. I didn't write it down on this. In this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley. Now I saw in my dream that he at the end of the valley, that at the end of the valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mingled bodies of men, even of pilgrims that had gone this way formerly. And while I was musing what should be the reason, I espied a little before me a cave where two giants, Pope and Pagan, dwelt in old times, but whose power and tyranny, the men whose bones, blood, and ashes, etc., lay there, were cruelly put to death. But by this place Christian went without much danger, whereat I somewhat wondered. But I have learnt since that Pagan has been dead many a day, and as for the other, though he be yet alive, he is by reason of age, and also of the many shrewd brushes that he met with in his younger days, grown so crazy and stiff in his joints that he can now do little more than sit in his cave's mouth, grinning at pilgrims as they go by, and biting his nails because he cannot come at them. Now, folks, I want you to understand what he's illustrating here. It comes from Hebrews. You know, at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, where he talks about all those people that had faced death? What Bunyan was trying to illustrate was paganism was the main beast. And then you had the Catholicism. And Pagan was dead. The Pope represented Catholicism to Bunyan. And in that, he said he's lost his teeth. And I think Bunyan was kind of associating that with the Reformation, that there was something good coming out of this transition. You know, there was Reformation happening to the church, and that the church had lost its teeth. I will tell you this, that the Catholic Church still has some teeth. I think it was Bunyan hoping in this book. But folks, we still have paganism today, right? We still have Catholicism. In fact, in part two of this book, this cave comes up again, and it's an individual called, a giant called Maul. And Maul represents the Anglican, right? Anglicanism. So he saw them as threats against the people of God. That's how he pictured them. But it was funny how he portrayed the Pope sitting there, barking at pilgrims as they walked by, passing out of the valley of the shadow of death, could do nothing about it. All he could do is chew on his fingernails. He had lost his strength. That's where we come to. Pagan and Pope. Pagan is dead. He saw the Roman Catholic Church as being there, that they're not a real threat to believers anymore. Well, I'm out of time, so I want us to think about this closing of this section. In the next study, Brother Jake's going to take it. He comes out of the valley of the shadow of death, and he sees faithful ahead of him. And I like that, because he sees faithful, and he cries out to faithful. But faithful says, I'm not stopping. I'm not waiting. If you want me, you catch me. He does. He overtakes him. And Bunyan even makes the point that Christian past him so that the first would be last. So that's what he uses. The first will be last. Christian got ahead of him. But you guys, this, you know, from time to time, Christian sings us a little hymn. And I like how this section closes out with that. And we'll use that for closing tonight. O world of wonders, I can say no less. That I should be preserved in that distress that I have met with here. Oh, blessed be that hand that from it hath delivered me. Dangers and darkness, devils, hell and sin did compass me while I was this veil was in. Yea, snares and pits and traps and nets did lie my path about, that worthless silly eye might have been catched, entangled, and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown. Bunyan was pointing out that Christians' rejoicing was not in the accomplishment of overcoming the valley of the shadow of death. He knew who brought him through that. He said, let Christ wear that crown. It's not in me. It is not in me. It's not in you. To pass through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not our strength. It's His strength and for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for loving us. Thank You for providing this time. And Father, You know what's going in our hearts, going on in our hearts and minds even now. The struggles that we face. And Father, You know that there are times when we will face difficulties and we will have fear, struggles, much like Christian faced, much like Bunyan himself faced. Father, may we bring You glory. May we honor You through that. And Father, that we always recognize that it's by Christ, it's by Your Spirit, it's by Your Word that we are sustained. It's not in us. It's all of You. May we bring You honor and glory. Forgive us where we fail. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.